I don't have time for this. I don't have time for it. I'll do it anyway, though. So it's just news according to me. Hey. Hey, yeah. I say, hey. Good morning. It is Thursday morning, 7:32 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. It is early in the morning for me getting this. I must have gotten up earlier this morning or something. Something's going on. Got the old animals all taken care of and got this thing going on. It is Thursday, May 7th, 7:33 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, 2026. I got some interesting things going on. I get this AI thing going on, of course, and I was trying to build, I've got this podcast caller thing. If you go to podcastcaller.com, you'll find a website there. Well, you'll find a domain name. You won't find a website yet, but there's going to be a website very soon where you can go to get this thing, or check it out. It's something that's, it's kind of interesting. It's going to have some backup stuff as well. We're kind of in phase one of the building thing going on, or I should say project one. There's going to be a couple other projects within this thing. Right now it's going to be a web-based app because that's the easiest way to keep it secure. I built this thing over the last, 6 months or so now. And, it was kind of broken. It was a local run thing. It was just run a local web thing. And, yesterday, basically just decided, again, it was kind of breaking all the time. There were some things were issues. It was cause it was just an MVP. It was called a marginally viable product. So you kind of, it's a proof of concept type thing. And it was working. It was kind of not working, working, not working. It would, it just issues with the code with any other program doing something. It would mess itself up a little bit here and there. So in the process of all that, yesterday I just decided to dive in and finish this thing. Basically, get it to the point where it's viable. It's actually a viable product. So now it's a VP, and it's basically done. It's in fact, there's some things now on the user interface, what they call the UI. In the biz, we call it the UI. It has this thing called Studio now, and I can go in there and make adjustments to the characters. I haven't even played with it really. The characters basically haven't changed at all since what we had before, but I can make adjustments. So as we go, in fact, I can duplicate them. I can create more of that same kind of character. Just have different kinds of voices and whatever, that kind of thing, which is pretty handy. So needless to say, on today's show, we will have some callers. We're going to have some AI callers. The internet's going to call in. Now, I haven't programmed anything into them. They're just whatever they were last time I tried to use them, and I think they're still pretty viable topics, so we're going to go there. The initial statement I type in, the initial greeting, the everything else is all, after that, every response after that is just the internet responding. The one particular character I seem to want to talk to more than any others, the others just kind of goofy characters, but I can change them up a little bit, even with the user interface here. So I can actually do that a little bit. So it's kind of going to be interesting to test this thing out over the next week or so. Right now, it's still just local on my computer. It will very soon be available to me, even with my laptop, when I'm traveling. Now, I could probably take it with me. I don't know if it will actually run on my laptop. Come to think of it, it should. I might stick it on my thumb drive and take it with me. See if I can run it on the computer, on the laptop. Anyway, for Friday morning show, tomorrow morning show. I'll be in Evansville, Indiana tomorrow morning. I'll be there most of the day. They have, hopefully the weather's decent, but in the meantime, that's where the show will be from. Now, having said all that, let's talk about what's in my cup. I've got a cup full of chai. The exciting part is, what kind of creamer do I have in it? Because I ran out of Cinnabon creamer yesterday. This is called coconut cream. It's not Almond Joy. It's coconut cream. And it's not quite as good, in my opinion, as the Almond Joy Creamer. It's got that kind of a coconutty. It's got more cream taste than it's kind of got a phony cream taste. I don't know. It's not that great. And my backup cup is still sweet peach tea, freshly made, or not freshly made, but just made yesterday. Got the day before. Made homemade peach sweet tea with real peaches, and it's good. It's next couple days it'll be just about perfect. so I'm going to take in the what's left of the gallons going along with me. It's going with me. Put in as many thermoses as I have to get that thing in there. Now, I'll be back on the show again. We'll talk about that more later in the day, but. So that's what's happening, and that's what we're going to get into. We're just going to kind of explore this whole thing. We're also going to talk a little bit about, I called it a Theological Thursday. We'll get into that after we go through some of the AI stuff. We'll talk about the theological stuff, and I think what we're going to talk about mostly about Islam and the kind of the differences, but that, as I understand it. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a financial counselor. And I'm proving that by giving a disclaimer that's not even been approved by a lawyer. So there you go. I'm sure I'm hanging myself out to dry here every day. But that's the fun of it. That's just what makes life exciting, isn't it? It just does that. Be back right after this.
It's the news. It's the news. According to me, oh, it's the news. According to me, it's the news.
It's the news.
According to me, oh, it's the news.
It's the news.
It's the news.
It's the news, yeah.
According to me, it's the news.
It's the news.
According to me, it's the news. According to me.
Yeah, we got, all right, we got to jump right into it, see what happens with this thing. This should be interesting. I think Artie is actually the one I particularly, for some reason, Skip popped up on the queue. I don't know why. Let's just talk to Skip here, see what happens. Skip is the one who's kind of a skeptic Skip, get it? Skeptic. He's a skeptic. So we're going to, now already I have stuff populating over here in the, seems to be working at show topics. That seems to be working pretty well. I got all kinds of things over there. That's handy. Okay, we got to go on from there. And I can save this. I can save the session as well. It'll save the entire thing. I can just hit the save button and it saves the entire show. Everything that's happened, all the transcripts right there. It's kind of a handy deal. But anyway, let's talk to Skip here and see what Skip has to say this morning. Go ahead, Skip.
Now, hold on there, partner. Oh, I just want to say a happy good morning to you right off the top. Here we go. I'm wondering about how this next World War III, or are we on four now? What's this big thing about Hegseth being all mad about some AI deal going on? I just wanted to know what your thoughts were on that old wise one. That's all I got.
All right, I don't know. His delivery is okay, but it's okay. Let's talk about Iran. What's going on there? Of course, there's people talking about is this World War III? This is I actually listen to a lot of like prophecy watchers, all kinds of different channels that have a lot of information about current events and news, prophecy, Bible prophecy, biblical stuff that's going on. Interesting, very interesting. Sometimes they have some very good, now Jonathan Kahn he's usually spot on his stuff. It's pretty amazing. He writes some really solid books, but he's kind of a historical genius in terms of like what he knows, how he puts things together is pretty amazing. And in general, I'd say he's typically pretty accurate. Now, having said that, everybody comes out and says this is the beginning of World War III. This is Armageddon. Blah 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 blah. This is how it's going to start. Well, this every since Kuwait, since we liberated them. That was, oh, look, this is biblical. This is the Bible coming to pass. Everybody, we're going to start Armageddon here. What was that, 30 years ago? 20 years ago? We have, this stuff happens all the time. And I guess the question is, you know, war is war, and it's you know, World War II could have been argued that it was probably the beginning of the end of the world kind of thing. Of course, the nuclear bomb, and everybody thought this was going to be how the world was going to end. It could still be, I don't know, but it's one of those things where, you know, you don't hear people talking about that much anymore. I don't know if we've either gotten numb to the fact that we could all be obliterated in, you know, a matter of an hour. Or if it's just that because the defense system is so much better now, or maybe the politicians just don't care because they got their own, you know, they got their own bunker. They'll come out of this okay. But I think they will anyway. It's going to be, you know, a bunch of selfish politicians in a down a hole. None of them are going to make it out alive. We have, they're going to eat each other in there, like they do. They practically do it on the house floor. Anyway, that's my theory. I don't think it's going to be World War IV or III or whatever we're into now. But I think it's going to be continued. I think it's going to continue. For a little bit of Trump said something about it ending soon. I'm not so sure about that. I think he's going to end it soon. I think is what he meant to say, or that's what he meant by what he was saying. I think he's going to bring an end to it pretty quickly, one way or another. That's just my take on it. I don't know how you feel about it. I'm sure you're going to say, hold on, something about hold on, partner, whatever. What are you going to say? Go ahead. Go ahead, or Skippy.
Now, hold on. You're hitting on something real here.
Yeah.
We've heard the sky is falling story so many times since Kuwait that nobody's paying attention anymore. And that might be the real problem. Back in my day, we took these things seriously. But now every conflict gets dressed up as the end times, and frankly, it waters down the message when real trouble does come around. I'm with you on Trump ending it quick, though. Guy's all about the deal, so if he says soon, he probably means it. But these Middle East situations never wrap up as neat as anybody promises.
Well, I have to say that was a cogent response. I'm actually pretty happy with that. You did kind of repeat things that I said and kind of went right along with it, but that was very good. They're just the people who are just, we get I wouldn't even say fringe legacy media, the fringe media. There's just people out there who just are so motivated by their emotional state concerning Trump that they can't think clearly. They can't even report the news clearly. They have an agenda with what their news is, which is very frustrating because we just want to know what the facts are and just let the American people decide on their own. They have, for some reason, the news media feels like they have to tell us what to think and not how to think, but just they have to give us the narrative. They have to give us the, you know, they have to wag the dog, so to speak, which is just, it really gets frustrating and actually gets, it's quite demeaning, in my opinion. What do you think about the current state of the media and the way they're reporting in this particular administration? What do you think about that? What's your opinion there? What kind of opinion do you have? I'm sure you're going to tell me to hold on again because that's what you do every time.
Look, you're absolutely right about the media's problem.
Yeah, well,
they've got their narrative locked and loaded before the facts even come in. And that's been going on longer than Trump's been around. The difference now is everybody can see it happening in real time with social media, so their game doesn't work like it used to.
Yeah.
And frankly, I think that scares them more than anything else.
Yeah.
People are waking up to the fact that they need to think for themselves instead of waiting for some talking head to tell them what to believe.
I've got to say, I feel like I'm having a conversation, almost feel like I'm having a conversation with something. It's at least not someone, but it's something. That's quite refreshing. Let's see what Elena has to say. I'm not sure what I have typed in here. I haven't even checked to see what they're calling in about. But we'll find out here real quickly. From
Hello again.
Yeah,
I don't listen to your show, but I call in a lot.
Yeah, you
historically
do. Yeah.
Speaking, as you know, I'm a historian.
Yes.
I would just like to. It has nothing to do with history. The whole Tucker Carlson thing. Have you heard anything about what's happening there? I mean, I was a really big fan and I typically lean towards supporting him, but not so sure where he's at on things lately.
I actually kind of missed about half of what you said. I was too busy laughing at half of it. So I don't know. I'd have to go in and see what I forgot what I typed in. I didn't even listen to her. In fact, I think I got accidentally clicked on the mute button there for a couple seconds. So I'm not sure exactly what I said. What she said, what she asked. But let's find out what the response is to that. Can you repeat what you said? Let me at least ask, can you ask the question again? Can you rephrase the question there, Elena? Can you ask me again in a different tone what you just asked there? Okay. Let's see what she does with this. Elena's thinking. It says Elena's thinking.
No problem. Okay. I know you were on a roll there. Yeah. I was asking about Tucker Carlson and what's happening with him lately. Since I used to think he was pretty solid, but I'm not entirely sure where his head's at these days. Look, historically speaking, we've seen plenty of media figures shift their positions when the pressure mounts. So I'm curious if that's what you're seeing, or if it's something else entirely.
I'm impressed with that. I don't know what to tell you. I'm impressed with that. That actually was more conversational. That was actually like a response to my question. But yeah, Tucker. Well, in fact, let me just go. Let me see if I can find this. I know I have it on my phone. I don't know if I've got this. Brandon Tatum. I've got it here. Now, I played this, I think, yesterday or the day before and talked about Tucker and where he's going. It's interesting that you brought this up because I haven't talked to you for a while. It's been a while since I've had these typed in. But this is Brandon Tatum on his show, and he has this is a short that he did. He's talking about Megyn Kelly. Now, Megyn Kelly is defending him all over the place, which is weird because he fell apart in this interview. Brandon said he watched the whole thing, and he said the whole time he was just acting like he didn't know what was going on, and he didn't know, he didn't want to make any definitive statements about anything. He was, who knows what, and who knows who the Antichrist really is, and maybe we're all evil, I'm evil, who knows what he's... It sounds to me like Tucker's having an identity crisis, and I don't understand anything more than that, other than people are apparently encouraging him in it, and Megyn Kelly is one of them. Here, let me just play this from this is from Brandon Tatum, but he's talking about Megyn Kelly, and how she's just totally gone in for Tucker here, and I don't. She's defending.
So Tucker sat down with Lulu, and Tucker handled himself, of course, very, very well.
JD has been subject to, this is well known, but I'll just confirm it.
JD Vance.
Nonstop treachery from people on the neoconservative side.
Who do you mean specifically?
You know, I don't know is the real answer. I don't know.
And was very deaf.
You know, you've been talking on your show about whether Trump is the Antichrist.
I have not said that.
On your show, you said, could this be the Antichrist?
I actually did not say, could this be the Antichrist?
Could this be the Antichrist?
I don't know where that comes from, but I know that those words never left my lips.
And any sort of would-be trap she was laying, he saw from a mile away.
The future that I imagine is not a future in which we're yelling at each other about race.
So Tucker sat down with Lulu, and Tucker handled himself, of course, very, very well.
JD has been subject to, this is well known, but I'll just confirm it, nonstop treachery from people on the neoconservative side.
Who do you mean specifically?
You know, I don't know is the real answer. I don't know.
So Tucker sat down with Lulu. And Tucker handled himself, of course, very, very well.
This is well known. I'll just confirm it.
Last couple seconds.
Nonstop treachery from people on the neoconservative side.
Who do you mean specifically?
You know, I don't know. Is the
good on
answer.
Her for calling him out on that. Just people. Just this is like.
You know, you've been talking on your show about whether
sources.
Trump is the Antichrist.
I have not said that.
On your show, you said, could this be the Antichrist?
I actually did not say, could this be the Antichrist?
Could this be the Antichrist?
I don't know where that comes from, but I know that those words never left my lips.
And any sort of would-be trap she was laying, he saw from a mile away.
The future that I imagine is not a future in which we're yelling at each other about race. It's a future in which people are legitimately revolutionary, maybe even violent.
You said in our previous interview, the future that I imagine is not a future in which we're yelling at each other about race. It's a future in which people are legitimately revolutionary, maybe even violent.
I'm amazed that you have a tape of me saying that, and I just want to disavow it.
You're accusing people of treachery, so I'm wondering.
Well, I know there's been a lot of treachery, for sure, and I know they were so mad about JD getting that job. I mean,
they? Who's they?
It's hard to really know.
This is me looking skeptical.
Yeah, well, no, I'm just being honest. Like, I don't really know.
And Tucker handled himself, of course, very, very well.
I don't know where that comes from. I'm amazed that you have a tape of me saying that. I'll just confirm it. It's like, I don't really know.
Megan, what are you talking about?
That's Brandon.
Like, you ain't got it. You make yourself look foolish. Just don't talk about it. Act like you didn't see the interview.
Right there you have it. Yeah. What are you doing? What are you doing? Defending this guy? Saying that kind of thing. Now what? So Eleanor, let me, what's your response to this? What is what they've said there? What do you think about all that? There was a whole lot to take in there. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I hear you. What strikes me is how he's denying things that are literally on tape, which reminds me of what we saw happen in politics before, where people just gaslight their way through contradictions. The whole thing feels like watching someone have a real-time crisis about who they actually are versus who they're supposed to be.
Again, I'm astounded at how good that response was. I mean, compared to what we had before, I'm not saying it is pretty good. I mean, if I was actually talking to a person, I'd say that was a pretty good response. But yeah, I think this thing might be fixed. I think we might actually have a conversational. And granted, the other one, the MVP was done in a very sketched up wireframe kind of thing we did. So it was not designed to do. This is the actual product where I'm putting together now. So it's going to have a lot more. It's got security built into it. It's got all kinds of things built into it. It's a major. As a matter of fact, I'm using Claude Code to do this one. I'm actually the way I did this is that you come up with I used Claude Chat. I chatted with that to talk about how to use Claude Code, and then it came up with an entire, told it basically everything I wanted it to do, and I showed it the original, because it forgets everything, but I showed it the original files, everything that we had set up before, the way the interface was before, and everything that the conversations that had gone on before. I had compressed a lot of that and saved all those as PDF files, threw all that into the chat thing, and then I said, it's time to build the real one. I'm going to work with Claude Code. So he went through all these questions, started asking me all these questions, and then came up with a prompt that was about 3,000 characters in that prompt. And it was explaining everything from phase A through phase F. And then this is stage one, it's complete. And I'm going to go into stage two, which is the implementation, getting everything lined up and, you know, put on, probably going to be put on AWS or some kind of a server. I've already got AWS services. It comes free with it, with certain things. But there's, and it's plenty big enough for what this app can do. And then the next one, the next big app I'm working on is something for flight crews. But it's that one, this is kind of an experiment to get everything done properly and as securely as possible with the same parameters. Using this as kind of an experiment to work through all those issues, and then that way we have a kind of a footprint or a blueprint to work on the other app, which will be very similar. It helps me out too, because now I know the process, you know, so I can help steer some things along. So that thing gave me a prompt. I threw it in there. It started doing things, ran all the right tests, did all the right background testing, everything I had to do every time, and then it would come up with questions occasionally. I would paste those back into the chat bot and say, here's where we are. This is what's happening. What do I need to do next on this decision? And I pretty much knew, but I wanted to check with it. And of course it came up with extra stuff, and it would come up with things like, hey, we should probably think about this at this stage and as well as this. And it was done a very good job. I'm kind of surprised, because I've heard some bad things about Claude Code and Claude recently in general. But this is kind of where Claude shines. It's in the programming things that it can do. And I'm impressed with what has happened. Now, this has It's using API keys for different things. It uses Anthropic, of course, and it also uses some other things for the actual voices. So it's doing a very good job with all that. I'm curious about what Artie's going to say here. I'm going to call.
Hello there, my good man. How's the world treating you? Good to hear your voice again, sir. I'm curious about what you think will happen in Iran with regard to a ground war. Do you think we'll have boots on the ground there?
Yeah, we're back to Iran. That's a good question, because what they want is regime change. And I think I talked about this last week a little bit. We're in a difficult situation here because you know, the people of Iran are not just going to rise up. They tried to do that during demonstrations, and most of them have relatives. Anybody who's going to rise up now probably has a relative or a friend who was killed in the rising up. And that's, you know, 40,000 people are the ones we know about. There may have been more, and I'm sure that they've got an enemies list that the regime over there is working on, and you know, they're oppressing people like crazy. Now, you've got, of course, there's not much left of the regime. So but there's basically a civil war going on. And one side doesn't have guns. The side that needs to win doesn't have guns. And so there's, what do you do with that? Do you step in and actually cause, you know, actually take over the regime change? Or do you let the people decide, which the masses are not going to do that. Now, or do you arm the masses and create rebels, and then you create a civil war? It's a very touchy, difficult situation. I don't see any way around having some kind of troop force on the ground. However, the main thing is, you know, most of their uranium and everything that they're trying to do is pretty much under rubble. It's going to take them a while to get all that undug or, you know, uncovered. But funny how they say, well, no, we've got a fatwa against having nuclear arms. We don't want to have nuclear arms, and it's against our religion to have nuclear arms. And yet they will not lay down the idea of them having that. That's the one thing. That's the main crux of the whole issue with the negotiations is you will not have nuclear weapons. Oh, we're not going to agree to that. Oh, what? How does that work? Again, they are allowed to lie if it's a good thing to further their cause, which is why I think it's kind of a very deceptive religion in many ways. Artie's thinking.
Actually, you're touching on something, technically speaking, that's been documented pretty well. The concept of in Islamic jurisprudence does allow for concealment of faith or intentions under duress. But here's the thing. Iran's nuclear program isn't really hidden under religious cover. It's just strategic ambiguity, where they maintain plausible deniability while advancing centrifuge enrichment. Yeah. The real crux, and I think you nailed this, is that any ground intervention without internal support basically becomes an occupation, and historically those don't end well. You'd need actual civil society buy-in, or you're just creating another power vacuum.
Folks, I'm pretty happy with this. Well, you know, plus they told me I'm right. But they do cloak. It's this cloak and dagger kind of situation, I think, that we have over there, and it's just been kind of a. It's been kind of frustrating with the whole thing. Now let's check in with Chloe. Chloe is the she's the how do you say the Valley Girl? I guess I don't know. She's, you know, the West Coast, the Left Coast gal. It's a little bit of a back in my day when I was a kid, we used to call them airheads. I don't know what you call them now. Blonde, maybe. I don't know. But she is one.
Howdy, howdy.
Oh, yes.
Hey there, Mr. Big Brain. Yeah. I was just wanting to see if you could answer my question this morning.
Probably can.
I have a lot of issues with the way the leftists are acting about this recent military thing in Iran. Have you heard them talking? What's up with this?
I don't know if you've been paying attention to the show at all or not. We've been talking about it quite a bit this morning. We have... Yeah, let's let's look at this at another angle. The whole thing of the trade issue. Now, here's something that's going on that I think that I'm not dodging your question because we've kind of already been kind of talking about it. Maybe you've kind of missed it, but there's no whole other angle to this thing. And let's talk about this part of the angle. The Europeans did not jump in. Now, NATO, Trump has a problem with NATO. He thinks because we fund it all the time, we fund everything, we defend Europe, they do nothing for us. Now, we have stepped in, and he's claiming that, well, they're not our allies because they didn't step in when we needed them here to open up the straits. They didn't step in with any kind of help. Now, what he has done is he's pulled troops out of Germany. I think 5,000 troops out of Germany, which is I think it's 14% of the troops that are he's also doing that in Italy. He's doing some other things. He's all these countries that just said, hey, we're not going to help you out. We're not going to participate in this. He's pulling troops out. Now, those are the troops that basically are there to protect them. They want our military bases there. Not only does it provide them with support and defense, we're basically paying for their defense so that they can, that way they can afford health care. That's what amounts. You can hear those people saying, oh, yeah, in Europe, it's free. Oh, yeah, free health care over there. It should be that way over here. Not only are we defending ourselves, we're defending them. And let's talk about what that does to their economy. When you have 5,000 people in a city, what does that do to what does that do to the economy of the city? There's more than, when you pull 5,000 people out of a city, that's kind of like having 5,000 immigrants coming in. Only these 5,000 people actually have money to spend. They come in and they spend money because they have off time. They go into the town, they spend their money. And they're spending our money. They're spending taxpayer dollar money. They're getting paid from us. They're not getting paid over there by the Germans. So it helps their economy for us to be there, as well as defends their economy, provides stability, all kinds of other things. So when we start pulling things out like that, they're kind of like, well, in fact, I think the chancellor of, or is it the prime minister, whoever, of Italy, I think it was, all of a sudden wants to know, hey, we got to talk to somebody about this. Let's talk to the Secretary of State. So there's all kinds of things happening, and I think he's pulling some interesting moves over there. Now, I don't know how much of this is coming from, I think there's a lot of military strategists and other people as well that Trump has now finally in his cabinet that are listening to him and are giving him good information. I think his first time around, he had very, very bad advisors, people who wanted to see him fail. And I think we have a very different kind of administration this time around. And I think he's still got some bad advisors. Pam Bondi, for example, I think was a bad advice. I think we're going to start seeing some actual things happening now with the DOJ now. But we'll see what happens with that. So what do you think there, Chloe, about all that? And I know I kind of twisted off into a different direction for you, but what do you think?
Okay, so real talk, the whole NATO thing is giving major power move energy, but like those European economies are going to feel that withdrawal literally immediately. And honestly, that's kind of the point. Right? It's wild that they suddenly care about talking to the State Department once the money stops flowing. Very on brand for how geopolitics actually works. I'm definitely here for watching the power dynamics shift, but I also can't help thinking this is going to get spicy once their people start feeling it in their wallets.
Yeah, I think they will. I think they will to some degree. I think that the biggest thing they're going to feel is, especially with Russia doing what they're doing in Ukraine, the biggest threat is Russia, obviously. It's Russia and some of the other, and China and some other countries. But China's not going to attack anybody right now. They're just not in a position to do that. Russia is too, and this is the whole thing. Russia's kind of got their hands stuck right now with the whole Ukraine war. They're not really set up to defend or have a multi-war front going on in different theaters at the same time. That's the theater of war there. They don't have that set up to do that. They've got main defense and main kind of their main thing. They're not really the war machine that's out there. Just like the whole thing with Venezuela, everybody out, they were supposedly providing defense for them as well. And that's not happening because they're just too busy right now with everything that they got going on. They've got to kind of, make sure that they're homeland is safe right now. They got a lot going on. They're losing a lot of military. They're losing it's costing them a lot of money just doing that. So that's one of the things that's why this is kind of an opportune time. I think that's one of the factors involved in why we were able to, why we made the decision, or why the decision was made to go into Iran right now. There's a whole host of reasons, but that was one, was because Iran's kind of got their hands tied right now. They can't really do anything outside their own country. They can't really defend Iran right now. And they had an agreement to do that, but they didn't do it. So did China. And they're all kind of backing out. That's what's happened there so far. Let's get a third response here from, or second response. Chloe, see what she thinks. You can talk more. See if she just regurgitates.
Okay, yeah. So like the DOJ angle is honestly what everyone's waiting to see play out, because that's where things get real. You know what I'm saying? The whole troop pullout is the leverage, but the DOJ stuff is going to determine if this administration actually follows through or if it's just theater. And honestly, the internet is going to be obsessed watching how this unfolds. Plus, you're right about Russia being stretched thin with Ukraine. So the timing on all this is low-key calculated. And that's the part that's actually genius from a strategy standpoint.
Well, I just got to say, Chloe's more intelligent than I thought. Now, most, if you listen to the content of what she's saying, it doesn't really give me any kind of back. Now, if I would ask her a direct question, she probably would have looked it up and actually found the answer. I was impressed with Elena actually being able to repeat the question. I think that was pretty interesting. Chloe is supposed to be kind of an airhead, they're kind of regurgitating what I said already, and kind of just typical AI style, AI chatbot. They're very positive, and you're right about that. Oh yeah, yeah. But at least they're not just coming back and saying, this is got to keep this in context. This is conspiracy theory. We can't talk about that kind of thing. It's just, at least they're not doing that, which is very refreshing. The whole thing is kind of a. Now, what's interesting about this, I can go in and I could have multiple. I can duplicate these callers. I can come up with more callers, and I can change. In the studio now, it used to be called the edits or whatever it was, but now it's called the studio. I can go in and I can rearrange these guys. I can change their personalities and stuff. Can't change their voices. Well, I can change their voices if I have an 11. You have to have a certain membership of another thing. And that's going to be included in the part of it. There's going to be different tiers in the membership in this whole thing. And I think it's going to work pretty well, but we'll see how that works out. In the meantime, there's so much other news. It's things that are going, the whole governor's race in California is just off the rails. It's just crazy. You've got a bunch of very selfish individuals, surprisingly, that politicians will be selfish, but they're off the chart selfish. None of them are willing to step down. And that's the only way they're going to get a candidate they're going to end up with two Republicans instead of a Democrat and Republican, or even two Democrats. They're spreading themselves so thin over there. They got a billionaire running, which hit the billionaires. Got to go after the billionaires. Nobody should be a billionaire. Well, let's run and be the governor for California. That'd be okay. We've got Katie, what's her name, who's just annoying as all get out. I've noticed she's lost about 100 pounds, and she's still annoying. And she made this stupid commercial. It just stupid. Man, so just, if people can't see how phony this lady is, it's, again, it's, we talk about the portrayal and everything else. It's just how people can't see through this kind of thing. I don't get it. But then you've got a couple other, then you got Steve Hilton, who is just doesn't hold anything back in the debates. He just lets it go. Of course, they treat him like, They don't give him time of day, and they try to interrupt him, and they defend it. They're just the moderators who are supposed to just moderate everything. They get involved and push back on the guy, which I think is just ridiculous. But I think people are noticing now. There's another guy running for governor. He was some kind of a reality show star or something. What he already was, what's his PM or PWM, whatever it is. He's got SP. Well, I don't know what his initials are. He goes by some initials. He's actually getting in there and really mixing it up with them and just saying, this is how ridiculous this is. This is what's happening with homelessness. This is what, you spent Basically, it was, I think it was $250,000 per person or $250,000 per bed or something like that for housing the homeless. They only came up with like 70 beds or something, or 70 little shelters for these right next to the tent city. And it cost them like $6 million or something, kind of a ridiculous amount of money. So I'm not sure exactly what's going on with all that, but he was calling him out. He'd done the math. And he goes, you can Google this right. Like, they would make a statement. He goes, you can Google this right now. It says right here. This is what happened. And Katie was making up all kinds of numbers. Like, oh, the winds were over 50 knots. And because they couldn't even fly planes. They couldn't do this, couldn't do that. He's like, you can Google it right now and see what the weather was doing during that time. And he said, the winds never got over 40 knots. And you're just flat out lying. He's calling it like it is. You're flat out lying. I can't remember who the guy was that was doing all this. He was calling around all that stuff. Very interesting stuff. So in the meantime, with all that going on, we're going to play this.
But wait, there's more. 651, we're almost done. 76 and 85, text that number. It's alive. Text that number. Call that number. Don't be a
loser. That's me in the background. All right. 574-651-7685. Or you can go to google.com/voice. I should probably put that in the song. And you can type that number in there. No matter where you are in the world, you can do that. Let's take a look. In fact, speaking of where you are in the world, I didn't even look at the numbers here. Let's see what yesterday's numbers were like. Nothing impressive. Kind of normal. Normal, I would say normal numbers from yesterday. We have, let's see if there's any new. This is always fascinating to me. The geographic stats. Let's see if there's any place new. Nothing that stands out here. Oh, well, there's Peru. Where was that? Is it Venezuela, Brazil, Colombia, Ecuador? Yeah, Vietnam, Bangladesh, Vietnam. 61. That's up from what it was a couple days ago. Iraq still has the same number there. It's this is like a 30-day look back. Finland, Ireland, UK, Germany. We got some folks in Germany. We got 5,000 people, 5,000 less viewers there now. We have our listeners. Italy, Portugal, Morocco. Morocco. Oh, that's interesting. Morocco. I guess it is the coast of Morocco right there. Okay. And South Africa, of course. There's nothing really new there. Top city still, Sayville, New York. Bellevue, Washington, that's Northwest Bellevue, and Ashburn, Virginia. Yeah, it's just still same kind of same top cities. Must be the same kind of people listening, same areas. Hanoi is still up in their top 10. That's amazing to me. 34 now. Yeah, interesting stuff. That's where we're at with that. What am I doing here? I need to go back to listens. There we go. Okay, now go back to the regular stats. Okay, got that all reset. Now, you can call that number if you want to. And if you're out of the country, you don't have an international calling plan or whatever you want to do, you can go to google.com, or you don't have a phone, you can go to google.com/voice, type that number, 574-651-7685. Leave a message, or you can leave a text. I will either read it or play it on the show. I have yet to do anything, any of that. I have not done anything from anybody that's texted in or anything. I made a couple little side comments occasionally that are kind of inside jokes from people who know who I'm talking about. They know what I'm saying. But that's the extent of it. I haven't had anybody that I didn't know, I should say, call in or send a text. In the meantime, let's talk a little bit more about the. We're going to talk a little bit about. The show's almost over. Anyway, I don't have a lot of time to just mungle around here this morning. I will tomorrow. Tomorrow I have a long time. Hopefully, I can get the AI thing working on my laptop. That's going to be a big issue, I think. If I can get that working on there, it'd be cool. But here's the issue. I have actually. I can do that. Oh, I can do that the other way around. Yeah. Theological Thursday. Let's talk a little bit about the Islam. And we've kind of talked about it a little bit with this whole thing with Iran, what's going on. But what are we talking about when we say there was an interesting Sunni cleric recently who was, I think he was in New York. And he was actually on video. He actually knew he was being recorded. And he was doing this little teaching thing, and it was kind of like a little, everybody was sitting around. It didn't look like a formal mosque setting type thing. It looked like it was more of a, like a little event or some kind of thing that they were doing. And it was just, there's a lot of men there sitting around. And they asked him questions. They said, so what do you believe all these things? He said, the radical Muslims believe it's these certain things, the fatwa, whatever it is, the Muslims that, so they believe, he went down this whole list of things. He goes, now, how is that different than what we believe? He goes, we believe the same things. He went through, how many of you believe in this and this and this? And just talking about things like, homosexuality and just a different social, societal issues. And he went right down the list, and including violence for certain circumstances with regard to infidels and everything else. They do agree with that. All of them raise their hand. Is there anybody that doesn't agree? How many of you agree? Almost basically everybody raised their hand. Wasn't much difference between the two. Now it's not a far stretch. When the radicals come in to take power, that these folks are like, well, they're radical, but they're gonna treat me okay. They're not gonna bother me because I agree with all the stuff they're saying. So there's this kind of a weird ability to shift, because they won't rise up against the radicals because that means I'm, because fundamentally they know that they have to be in line with that. Otherwise, you're an infidel. And the consequences are very swift and severe. So there's this influence, and this happens in a lot of religious communities. And I'm gonna bring up the Amish. I hate to pick on them, but I have a tender place in my heart for the Amish because my family basically is from that. My grandpa was raised in the Amish church. And he was Amish for a while. I think his first two children, I believe, were the first child. I think it was the oldest was the only one who she got married. They were still Amish when she got married. She joined the Amish church and she got married, remained Amish for her entire life. I think the next kids might have been. I think that was why the next oldest actually ran away from home because he didn't want to be a part of the Amish church, and I think that's what kind of woke up my grandpa to what was going on, because he had two children. He had his oldest son, and then his oldest child was a daughter. His oldest son and then his next son, both of them kind of got radically. One of them ran away. The other one basically just disavowed him for a while. Wouldn't even talk to him. And I think it kind of, he decided this is not good. Not a good situation. He left the Amish church. Well then, so his one daughter was still in the Amish church. Now after he left the Amish church, obviously he was shunned, but he joined the conservative Mennonite church. And even in his 90s, he was still filling the pulpit occasionally, doing some teaching and stuff, when he was kind of interesting. Because he'd written a couple of books. He's older than me, and he was writing books, which gives me hope. And he didn't have AI to help him. Now, I've written a couple of books, but nothing about anything that's, just like workbooks for some things that I'm still working on an entire course for something. But I should have that finished up by the end of the summer, hopefully. Hopefully by the end of the month, but that's another story. So it's kind of fascinating the way that all happens. Well, there's a lot of family pressure. You're out on your own. You leave the Amish church, you're shunned. At least you are. Not now your kids aren't. interestingly enough, or anybody that has never joined the Amish church is not. So it's kind of a weird influence that they have over you, that because they, you know, that's all your support. Everybody that you know is they're going to disavow you. You're going to lose your family. Now, the Amish won't get violent and beat you up and can say you've dishonored me and disgraced me. That's actually allowed in Islam. They can beat you up and beat you with a certain kind of stick, a certain size stick or whatever it is. It's just all this stuff that's in their rules. Here's the question, I guess, that I pose to almost every Muslim and even the Jews. How do you receive forgiveness for sins? This strikes at the heart of their issue, because most of them will say, well, you're not allowed to commit a sin. So you're telling me that you go through every day and you don't commit any sin. Now, they consider Jesus to be a prophet, and they are supposed to respect Jesus as a prophet. Now, the Jewish folks won't. They'll say, oh, he was kind of a prophetic person, but they're very wishy-washy on that. But you can bring up things that Jesus said that way. That way you can inject that into the conversation and say, well, you consider Jesus a prophet. He said this. He said, even if you just look upon a woman with lust in your heart, you've committed adultery in your heart. Have you never done that? Things get silent very quickly in that kind of a question. It's very... They either get silent or they get very mad, one of the two. You have to be very careful who you ask and how you ask that question, because it strikes at the heart of how do you know you're forgiven? What is the redemptive process in Islam? And if you fail, if you commit a sin, what is the process of forgiveness, redemption, atonement? Because it leaves an emptiness inside of them, because they realize at some point, if you really search your soul, you really search yourself and you really are honest with yourself, you will come to the point of where you have to admit to yourself you are unable to do anything, to do enough good works, which is what they call, I think it's called mitzvah. There's all kinds of different things they call good works and different things. And you have to do more of that than your bad works. The outcome it's going to be weighed out in court, basically. It's going to be weighed out in the scales of justice. Are you a gooder person than you are a badder person, kind of thing? That's how it's all going to be done. Of course, then the way you die makes a difference as well. But there's no peace in their heart over that. And it's very clear to them. If you can point those kinds of things out, and here again, this is why one of the genius things about God is the way he said, I'm going to give you my spirit. You're going to have this peace that passes understanding, not a peace like the world has, but a peace that I give you. That peace can speak volumes in situations where there's chaos going on, or just when people have the turmoil of life is affecting them, and you walk in with the same things going around you, going on around you, that they're going on around them, and you are at peace. That, without saying a word, speaks volumes to them. It is probably one of the biggest witnesses of our faith that we have in many situations, not in every situation, but in most situations. People, more than you know, are aware of that. I have a song I just recently wrote. If I can find the words, I want to see. I do a lot of traveling, and I've actually No, that's the wrong song. Where'd it go? I'm going to look it up here. Let me just play this and I'll get back with you. I'm just going to listen to this real quick and then we're going to talk about what we're doing tomorrow.
It's the news.
It's the news.
According to me, oh, it's the news.
It's the news.
According to me, it's the news.
It's the news.
According to me, oh, it's the news.
It's the news.
According to me, it's the news.
It's the news.
Yeah. According to me,
it's the news.
It's the news.
According to me,
it's the news.
Yeah, it's the news. According to me.
All right. So yeah, tomorrow's show, I'm coming to you from Evansville, Indiana. I wrote this song. I'd like to play it for you, but it's copyrighted now. It's a single that's going to come out later. Actually, I just had a new single come out. It's on YouTube Music already. It should be coming out on iTunes soon. It's called Endless Goodness. I really like that song. I tend to find myself singing it throughout the day. But it's just one of those, I'm tooting my own horn. But I spent a lot of time traveling, and this song, I've been writing notes down on this song for a long time. Finally, just got it done. I had my head down over the last couple months, just finishing songs, and I've probably actually finished 15 songs. Three of them I had written earlier, but never really finished them very well. Remastered, mixed, mastered them, and kind of did them professionally. In fact, people who've listened to them, that sounds really professional. Which it's the tools you have now are just so much better. You don't have to send it off to Sweetwater or something to get it done. They still do a good job down there, but it's just the things you can do now are just much more advanced. Anyway, this is kind of a prayer. And whenever I'm traveling, whenever I'm walking through an airport or a bus station or wherever I'm at, it just seems like I see this sea of people all the time just moving through, in front of me. And I just wonder what their God story is. What's God doing in their life right now? How is he trying to get through to them in that moment? I may not be able to read this. Wow. This is the first time I'm going to be working, actually going through an airport. I'm probably going to have this song playing in my headphones. I'm probably going to be bawling my eyes out walking through the airport today. Walking through a crowd of faces, every heart a hidden story. I know you're moving in the silence. Writing grace in every worry. In their questions, in their waiting, in the tears they never show. You are closer than they realize, so much closer than they know. Just like the Son before the Father, I don't want to move alone. Only do what you are doing. Only go where you have shown. Open my eyes to see what you're doing all around me. Break my heart for what breaks yours. Let me know it deeply. I give you my hands to serve. I give you my lips to speak. Show me my part in your plan. Open my eyes to see. Every burden that they carry, every prayer they cannot speak, you are there within the breaking. You are strong when they are weak. In the joy and in the sorrow, in the places I can't see, you are working all around me. Will you show it all to me? And then, of course, the chorus again. And then you are speaking in the ordinary, drawing every heart to you. Let me not just pass them by. Make me faithful. Make me true. The bridge, then, is if you are healing, let me witness. If you are calling, let me hear. If you are moving, I will follow. Help me speak through all my fear. If you're speaking, I will listen. If you're reaching and let me go. Let my life become a vessel of the love you want to show. Open my eyes to see what you see and be who you need. That is my prayer as I travel. The song turned out much better than I expected, and I really am it just moves me every time I hear it, especially when I'm around people. If I'm in a store and I'm listening to it in my earphones, it's been a prayer in my heart for a long time. I'm kind of a people watcher, so I'll be observing what people are doing, and my thoughts right away are turned to, I wonder what God's saying to that person right now, how God's trying to get through to that person right now, what's going on in that person's life, and what are their struggles. I wonder what I can do, if there's anything I can do, just to be open to it. Other than, an intercession is a big part of that. I just want to intercede for them at that moment. Be able to pray outside of yourself, something beyond yourself. We tend to be so wrapped up in our little lives and everything that's going on with us, and we forget there's 8 billion people out there. And that God wants to reach every single one of them, and he wants to use you. Well, you and me. I don't know if he can't use me for a whole lot. I just get this podcast, I guess. Anyway. Folks, thanks for listening today. Hope we had fun with the whole AI experience. And tomorrow's show from Evansville, hopefully it works there as well. In the meantime, God bless, folks. Thanks for listening. Thanks for subscribing and commenting. Whatever you're going to do, go about your day. Thank you so much for listening. See ya.